Blog Talk Radio.
All we want is you. Take over, take over. By nothing, nothing else but you. All we want is you. Take over, take over. Till we are consumed by nothing, nothing else.
Good morning, everyone. This is August Crenshaw, your host of As a Kid Radio Show. Excited to be back in the studio with you all. Thank you for joining us. For those that are logged in on the internet, remember, if you have to get on the go, call-in number is 347-838-9366. Again, that number is 347-838-9366. I'm excited to have today's discussion. Everybody that's been listening for a while, you pretty much know the motto is we act as a kid and do what the Word of God says. And why? Because our daddy says so. But let's see what our daddy is saying to us today. So, let's start with prayer first and then see what our daddy has to say. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your word. Your word is the inspired truth that builds us and corrects us and reforms us into the type of creatures that you want us to be. God, help us to have that true revelation, Lord, of what you have mapped in our destiny for us. Let us step in sync with that, God, having high expectations, Lord. Let us grow and go into another level of faith, another of life, living it to the fullest, having success in every area, be it family or business and ministry. Whatever it is, God, we just pray for your direction so that we may move forward and receive all the blessings that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so what would the topic be without a little bit of feedback, you know, letting you all know exactly where I'm at and what's going on in my life? So I have these conversations with God. You know, I'm always looking at stuff and questioning things and trying to understand stuff, so I'm in a season in my life where I'm building, where I'm building a dream. I was already building a dream when I met my husband and we began to work together, but now we're at another level of building that dream as God has been revealing gifts to us both and what he has destined for our lives. And the more we push toward those things, the more doors keep opening for us to continue to walk through them. You know, but as we're pushing and we're going through, we're making friends and we're losing friends. And we're beginning to realize that there's a, unfortunately, it seems like we're losing, maybe seeing losing friends is too strong because we're still connected, but the relationships maybe aren't as potent as they used to be. So I don't want to say losing friends because it's not like we got enemies and stuff like that now. It's just that we don't have the same kind of connection with people that were in our circle. But that's because our perspective on things has changed and become a little bit more aggressive. And what I've been finding is the conversation that I'm getting from a lot of Christians is very discouraging. You know, if you're a dreamer out there and you have any kind of goals, if there's anything that you want to do with your life, you know, if you want to open up a practice, if you are into music, if you, like myself, if you design jewelry, you make clothing, you want to open up a bakery, you know, I don't know what it is. Whatever passion you have, is it a ministry that you want to start? If it's something that you want to do as far as helping the homeless, whatever your ambitions and dreams are, today we're going to talk about not limiting them. Not only not limiting those dreams and ambitions, but also being very open to receive what God has to give you and being open to receive it from the right sources. And when I say the right sources, let's go ahead and get rid of one common issue that a lot of saints have. A lot of times we can't receive what God has for us because we already have a perception of an individual. And most of the time that perception has to do with whether or not that individual is saved. So if they're not saved, then they can't give me information. And that would go back to the scripture in Psalms where it says that blessed is the man who sitteth not in the counsel of the ungodly. Well, remember, we talk a lot about balance. You're not trying to get ungodly counsel from someone. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about receiving wisdom. And even out of the mouth of babes, wisdom can come. And you need to be open to see whatever it is that God is going to give you. So, for instance, I'm going to this thing in May. It's called the Billionaire Thought. It's a sales and leadership training seminar, and me and my team with my company, we're going down there. John C. Maxwell is going to be there. Eric Thomas is going to be there, and two other hitters are going to be there. And it's so funny because, honestly, I don't really know anything about Eric Thomas, and I don't know if you know for the listeners out there, but if you don't, I would YouTube him and check him out. But here's the bottom line. So my daughter's here from college, and we're working on this company together. She's going back to school. I want her to have some motivation when she goes back. Out of the nowhere, it hits my spirit to go on YouTube and just type in success, how bad do you want it? I mean, that's a random thing. Why would I type that out? Well, when I typed it out, I ended up coming on this link. And this guy is talking about what you need in order to be successful. And he's talking about how he's happy the slaves didn't fall asleep and how they weren't tired and they weren't lazy, how a lot of us can't be successful because we always want to sleep all the time. Some of us can't be successful because we tied to our cell phones. And he's giving a lot of great practical examples about why people can't be successful and how they don't want to be successful just as much as they want to breathe. And when I was listening to it, I was like, wow, this man is really heavy. I mean, I'm listening to him. He's intense. He's passionate. He's inspiring the mess out of me. He's also inspiring my kids. Well, when I got through listening to it, I thought about somebody in the state that I want to share it with, and automatically it's like all breaks went, no. And I could already hear this person saying, well, you know, don't be so hungry for money that, you know, you forget about the ministry or you forget about God. And I could just, unfortunately, I could see the whole conversation going downhill. And I was like, yeah, don't share that in. Who is this person? I could see them already being turned off because they called him the hip-hop preacher. And so, you know, me being a Christian, and I don't listen to hip-hop music anymore, would be like, okay, well, August, well, why are you listening to somebody that's called a hip-hop preacher? It ain't none of my business why the man has a label. The question is whether or not he has business principles that make sense. And remember on a couple of episodes ago, well, more than a couple, we talked about when things are said, even when they're Christian, the question is what the person's saying doesn't line up with the Word of God. And the bottom line is we're going to get to those points. But, yeah, everything the man was saying, it lined up with the Word of God. So, you know me, anytime something's on my mind, I want it to be able to be validated with Scripture. And I immediately thought about a Scripture in Luke. I can tell you right now we're going to end up going to Luke 16, not reading just yet, but we're going to read that. And we're also going to read Luke 18 because I had thought that the scripture was Luke 18 and it wasn't, so I studied that. And then I realized that both of these, even though they're completely different parables, they have a commonality. But before I go further, let me just say this first. Just because you're saved does not mean that you stop dreaming. Just because you're saved, it doesn't mean all of a sudden you become soft or you become a martyr and everything is, well, it's all about, you know, what's going to be best for the ministry, what's best for the kingdom, and, you know, I just can't do this and I'm suffering like my Savior. And no. See, Jesus already did the whole martyr thing. He said that he came so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And not just leaving this earth when we get to heaven. God wants us to have abundance here. He said, beloved, above all things, I want you to prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. So there's more than just spiritual prosperity. God wants us to prosper in all avenues of life, with our kids, with our spouses, with our jobs, with our in whatever endeavor it is that we have. So let's go ahead and open up to these two stories. We're going to start, like I said, in Luke 16, and we're going to make some connections. So in Luke 16, verse 1, it says, and he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For the Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg, I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and he said unto him first, how much owest thou unto the Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said quickly unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely, for the children of the world are in their generation wiser than the children of the light. I'm going to repeat that when it finished reading. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely, for the children of the world are in their generation wiser than the children of the light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friend of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitation. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you your trust? Who will, commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another's man, who shall give you that which is your own? Paraphrase. No, I always got to throw it in here. Okay, so here's the story of a man that was working for somebody, got busted for what it was that he did wrong. He was already told he was going to be fired. He had a couple of seconds to go ahead and give an account for what he had did, and then he was like, it's like, get on. So with this split second of time before everything trickled down, everybody knows what's going on, he like, let me go to the other people that I know and do them a favor. You know, let me try to manipulate the situation, because he had already said, you know, what I'm going to do. I ain't going to do no hard labor. I ain't going to be digging. I'm above that kind of work, and then I'm too ashamed to beg. I ain't going to be asking nobody for nothing. But I'm not going to sit here, and I'm not going to not survive either. So I got to figure out what it is I'm going to do and how I manipulate this situation so that I still come out on the top. And one businessman to another, when his Lord found out what he did, he was like, wow, I'd at least commend you because you got street smart. But what I want people to understand, for those of us that's old school and got the red letter Bible, this is a parable that Jesus is giving, and he's the one that's giving the talking. He's the one that's doing the talking. After he said what the Lord said about the individual in verse 8, he's the one who said that the children of the world are in their generation wiser than the children of the light. And you want to know why I believe that is? It's because all of a sudden we get into this numb, dumb syndrome of if the Lord will, if the Lord do, if the Lord says. And it's like, okay, so when do you do? When do you say? When do you believe? When do you have power and authority and life and death in your tongue? And when do you begin to say what's going to happen or what's not going to happen? Jesus told them, he said, you know, I want you to be like them, but I want you to be like them as it pertains to things that are honorable. He ain't talking about going out there and getting over on people, but God wants us to respect the street smart in the unsaved people. So people may think my parallel is a little far-fetched. But like I said, when you're listening to somebody and, you know, for instance, if it's a financial guru that's giving you advice on how it is that you grow your company, you don't get all uppity and say and be like, oh, well, you know, I don't listen to them because, you know, I need to hear stuff from the Bible. It's got to be totally rooted in the scriptures, and it's got to be said a certain way because, you know, all they about is money, and I can't just be about money. It's about the ministry and it's the kingdom. Hey, slow down. You're doing too much and you're going too far and you're drawing too many parallels. I mean, even when I talk to another Christian person, a Christian person can give me advice and say something about a situation, but just because they're sharing their experience does not mean it 100% applies to me. I take the meat of what they say, and if it's anything extra, I just throw it to the side. I don't necessarily say I throw it away because maybe that testimony may be good for somebody else. But even I just want it to be known that right here in the Word, people that are street smart are commended by God, not just common sense, street smart. So you can't expect to have anything in this life if all you're going to do is just sit and wish that and hope that something happens. I mean, honestly, think about it. What's wrong with people in the church when you sitting at home and your pride on 10 and you sitting there starving because you ain't got no food to eat? But you look down on the person that's sitting on the corner with a sign saying we'll work for food or with a cup out saying that can they get some money? It meant, hey, on one hand, I remember at the time I looked at it and be like, wow, they're just standing there again. Okay, I'm going to give this one $1. No, I ain't giving none of this one. This one looked like they're going to drink. Then I got past to the point where I wasn't judging. I just either give or I didn't give. But for some of us, that means you used to put a knot in the pit of our stomach. But at the end of the day, it takes effort to walk your butt up to the corner. They went and found the black marker. They went and found the cardboard. They went and wrote that thing on her, and they standing outside in the sweltering heat doing what they feel they need to do to get them some money. Whether or not that's the most advantageous way to do it, that's not what I'm trying to dispute right now. What I'm saying is that they're doing something. But something happens for whatever reason when we get saved and we come across hard times where it seems like we just quit. You just sit and you just hope something happens. But that's not what God said. He says get up there, and he says get out there and do something. Maneuver. This man was right because he maneuvered. He was creative in his thinking. He wouldn't take no for an answer. He was going to figure out how he could accomplish whatever he needed to accomplish to survive. So anyway, like I said, this one guy, let's go back to Eric Thomas. So I'm listening to him, right, and he's telling the story about success, and then he makes a comment. He said, you know what, a lot of y'all ain't going to be successful just because of sleep. It's only 24 hours in a day, and some of y'all just can't let go of the bed. Get up. I'm sitting in there listening to him, and I'm feeling him. Because he said, if you're going to be successful, sometimes you're going to live off of 2 or 3 hours of sleep a day. Then he started giving me examples of, like, Beyonce and other people in the industry, football and all of this stuff, and how they would be in the studio or on the set, and they go for hours on here, and they would even forget to eat, and he giving all of these examples. And I can hear people that's real heavy in the church already going, see, but that ain't God, and this ain't supposed to happen. You know what? Slow down. Before we get into judging the lifestyle, what they doing or what they not doing, the bottom line is I could even still take those examples that he gave from a Christian perspective because, I mean, whether you like some of these televangelists or not, the Creflo Dollars, Joyce Myers, TJ's, all of that stuff. At the end of the day, I mean, for real, to tour as much as they do, to be on TV the way that they are, to write the books, to do the CDs, the DVDs, to do all of the things that they do, to edit and to manage, they're still running a very fortified business. How do you do that and get sleep? And these people have families. They have to still put quality time with their people and stuff like that in there. So, yeah, those that are successful don't sleep. Excuse me? We can go back to Jesus. Jesus was in the garden praying for so long that the disciples went to sleep, and Jesus got pissed at them. He like, what are y'all sleeping for? Get up. He went back to pray. He fell asleep again. He like, come on now. You don't have time to sleep. When Lazarus died and Jesus wept and he wanted to go somewhere and be by himself to have a moment, throngs of people came looking for him, following him, and where he wanted to rest, not physically, literally sleep, but just get a moment of peace to himself, he didn't even get it. So many people came to him, and he still went ahead and ministered to the multitude. So whether you're taking it from a business perspective, a family perspective, a spiritual ministry perspective, at the end of the day, when you're all in, you're all in. So where do you really truly get rest if you're doing what it is that you know that God has called you to do or blessed you and will allow you to do? There is no room for sleeping.
When you got to do what you got to do to make your family survive, you don't get to sleep, mothers. When the baby's crying in the middle of the night, you still got to get up with him. You still got to get up in the morning and get dressed and go to work, tired, baggy out and all. Husbands that work on the cars, but then after that, you still got to get up and go to the gigs. Students that had a rough night because you heard the baby crying all night, but you still got to study because you got the test the next morning. Circumstances and trials in life don't put us in a situation where we necessarily get to rest the way that we want to. But that's why we use wisdom and we fortify our bodies. We eat right. You know, we rest when we can, but when it's time to grind, we grind, and we know that God will sustain us and he'll keep us going. So, but all of this is going to connect. But back to the other story. Like I said earlier, so I was going through this thing, and I'm like, okay, I ended up reading Luke chapter 16, and I ended up reading Luke 18. And two completely different stories, but still a parallel theme as it pertains to Christians and our desire and our want and belief to have. So you go into Luke 18, starting at verse 1. It says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, the Son of Man will cometh. Shall he find faith on earth? Shall he find faith on earth? Faith without works is dead. So you can't have faith without works to back them up. So my question is, when Jesus comes back, will he find faith? Go back to that first verse. At the very end, he says, men ought to always pray and not to faint. I ain't trying to be funny, but sometimes the church makes me mad because we got to praying down to a science. Every time something happens, oh, let me pray about that. Every time something goes on, let me call my praying partner. Let me call my praying team. What's going on with that situation? I don't know. I'm just trusting God. I'm praying. If the slaves only prayed, we would still be slaves. They prayed. They was like, Jesus, watch me. And then they ran. And they got beaten. They got whipped. And they got their feet cut off. And they got killed. And they got murdered. But they still did more than just pray. They put life into action in order to get their freedom. So my question is, are you still praying or are you not fainting? That's the part that I'm waiting for with the church, because the Bible says don't get weary in well-doing. So whatever it is that he's giving you the capacity to do, are you doing it? And are you going all out to do it? See, we got the pray part, but do we have the work part? Now look at this. So paraphrase. With the whole rest of the scripture. So a woman gets done wrong, and she's supposed to be able to go to court in order to be able to get her just the punishment for the individual. And here it is, this high-headed judge that don't care what God say, man say, nobody. He's God to himself. He don't even care about the woman. But because she was so persistent, she didn't stop asking for what she wanted until she got it. And the only reason why she got it was because she got on the man's nerves. So what have you taken no for an answer on? Think about that. If there's anybody out there that's trying to be successful and build any dream, or you know somebody that's trying to be successful and build any dream, when they get ready to crumble and fold, or you're the one that's ready to crumble and fold, you better make sure that that doesn't happen because of a no. You better make sure that you get your street savvy on and say, you know what? I'm going to figure out how this is going to happen regardless, because I'm not going to stop until I get what I want. That's what the persistent widow and the crooked manager have in common. They were going to find a means to an end to get what they wanted in the end, and at the end, they both still ended up coming out on top. What is it that you're supposed to be coming out on top on? That's what God wants. So, yeah, you're supposed to be persistent. You don't give in. You don't give up. They know you don't sleep. Somebody might say that that's extreme. Well, you know what? It's amazing. I didn't used to really like to entertain Facebook. Now I'm on it, and every time I turn around, I see something on there that tickles my spirit, that inspires me. I see some retarded stuff, too, but I'll leave that out. Anyway, but it's so funny. I love how God confirms things. Because I get up this morning as I finish studying, I say, you know, because I do my posts on the Facebook to let everybody know I'm doing the show. And I scroll down just to look at the news feed, and my cousin in Chicago puts a post up, Proverbs 20:13, and he's like, people, don't be lazy. Don't sleep, because if you sleep, that's how you're going to end up in a poorhouse. And I'm like, wow, really? So once again, back to what I said before, don't be too selective about who you are willing to get your information from. Because, see, this man, Eric Thomas, all he kept saying was, you know what, a lot of you ain't going to be successful because you let sleep get in between you. So I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to ask you to get a pen and a piece of paper because I'm not going to go through all of these different scriptures. But while I'm giving you a chance to get it, the bottom line is all of these different passages, primarily out of Proverbs, speak on laziness, being a sluggard and sleeping, and how that's connected to want and poverty, or how work is guaranteed to bring a profit and how you're guaranteed to have success or the things that you need. So you have Proverbs, if I hope you got your pencil. You, if not, log back in. You can always re-listen to the clip. Proverbs 20:13, 6-9, 24, 33-34. Proverbs 10:5-6, Proverbs 19:15, and Proverbs 7:14-23. I'll say them again. Proverbs 20:13. Maybe I say it like that, make it look clear. Chapter 6:9. Chapter 24:33-34. Proverbs 10:5-6. Proverbs 19:15. Proverbs 12:11. Proverbs 14:23. Men and women of God, it is time for us to stop sleeping. To be honest with you, I personally believe that when you sleep on a dream that God has given you and when you're not aggressive towards making sure that you make it a living life, that you become soft. And I don't know what in the world soft has to do with being a Christian, because everything I look at, when I see Jesus, I see nothing soft. Jesus, and, you know, forgive me for not having the exact scripture, but there was a time, and I may be quoting this not completely correctly, but trust me, you'll get the gist of it, and I guarantee you if you read the scriptures, it's not a far-fetched interpretation. But at one point, the Pharisees and or Sadducees decided they wanted to question Jesus based on how he did the work that he did. And Jesus, instead of ignoring the question, giving a mild and meek answer, he said, he asked them a question. He said, so by what power did this happen? And then they were sitting there thinking amongst themselves, and they were like, well, if we say he did it by the power of God, he's going to say, why you eject him? If you say he did it by the power of this, then they're going to say, why we didn't accept this? And they said, we can't answer their question. And Jesus looked at them and said, well, I can't answer your question either. He's a smart aleck. A lot of times Jesus was just in the area, and then the scriptures would say he perceived in his spirit that men were thinking X, Y, and Z. So then he'd tell a parable, which basically went off on them, and every once in a while he'd have to dip out because they'd get mad and say that they sought to slaughter him or to kill him, and he would dip out and he would escape. When he saw the money changers sitting in the temple, it says he scourged them out. That means he grabbed the whip and he was like, y'all ain't gonna, this is my father's house. This is a house of prayer. There was nothing punk-ish about Jesus. The only thing he did was make sure that he avoided death until the appointed time that all things had been done in the order that God wanted them to be done. And when God said, go ahead and, you know, let him take you, he said, not my will, but your will be done, and he did it. He wasn't soft. When they brought the woman to him, the adulterous woman, for a minute he just ignored them. The scriptures say he literally wrote in the sand as if not to hear them. Then eventually he said, do without sin, cast the first stone. So in other words, he called them out. He was like, yeah, crooked too. And they walked away. And then he told the woman, go and sin no more. So there's nothing in Jesus that was taught. So why is it that we keep on thinking that once we get saved, all of a sudden, you know, just because of meek, my granddaddy said all the time, meek don't mean weak. Just because you're meek in spirit doesn't mean all of a sudden you're like, oh, well, you know, if it's the Lord's will, oh, well, if this happened. No. Get that talk on. Stop it. What are your dreams? What are your desires? What are you looking to happen in your life? Do you want to run a thriving company? Do you want to take a talent that you have and share it with the world? Do you have a ministry that you want to begin? Do you just want to have the best family in the whole wide world because you think that you should just be the model family? Do you want to take family to another level? Or are you supposed to be a minister, a preacher? Are you supposed to be a motivational speaker? Are you supposed to inspire other people? I don't know what you're supposed to do. But whatever it is, if it's inside of you, it's inside of you because God put it there. He called men and women of God to be we're a holy priesthood, a royal generation. We are awesome. So let's start acting like we the king's kids. The king's kids don't walk around wondering what they can do. They walk around like they own the spot. They got their chest up. They got their head up. How are you walking around? Are you believing that success is supposed to be for you? You should. Because God wants us to be prosperous. And what that success looks like to everybody is not the same thing, but stop settling. Stop settling for whatever's going on in your life and desire that you want more. So I said a lot. I know I talk fast. I threw a lot of things out there. I don't know what anybody's thinking or feeling. I'm definitely always open to questions or comments. For those that are listening, I always let you know, push the button one, and we can chime you in and see what it is that you have to say or what you're thinking about. You know, did anything inspire you today? Does it make you think? How are you going to move forward? Are you thinking about somebody else and how you're going to, you know, push them? Are you doing what you dreamed of, but you see somebody else that, you know, you can plant a seed and water it so God can, you know, give the increase on? So if there are any questions or comments, I'm going to move forward and end the show. I always am extremely grateful to all my listeners. I thank you for chiming in. I pray to God that it was a blessing, and if it didn't all get in right now, I hope it definitely soaks in later. So I'm going to pray us out. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and we love you and we praise you. God, we thank you because you are the one who formed us and knew us in the womb, that you've called us to great things, God. Continuously give us knowledge, wisdom, revelation, and understanding, God, so that we can be who it is that you want us to be. Let us walk into that thing. Let us not be double-minded in any of our processes. Let us be sold out on how you have created us. Let us see ourselves in the scriptures. Let us see ourselves moving forward. Let us see ourselves also encouraging other people to do more and to be more. May we be just as wise as a street smart individual, God, but let it be for things that are of righteousness, just, and or for the kingdom. God, we praise you for all your knowledge, wisdom, and understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. Can't wait to talk to you guys again next week. Enjoy your day. Enjoy your week. And I pray for everybody that's chiming in to have much success.